Good morning.
Good
to see you. You are very welcome. Let me add my welcome to Lindsay's welcome this morning. But if you're visiting with us or you're new, you are most welcome. We're, as a church, we're studying in the Gospel of Mark. So if you've got your Bibles with you, then if you can turn, please, to Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, we're going to read the first nine verses. So Mark 14. It says this. Now the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people might riot. While he was in Bethany, just 2 miles from Jerusalem, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And he rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for your word. And we pray now, Father, give us ready minds. Give us soft hearts. And we pray, Jesus, show us something of the beauty of yourself for your glory. Amen. I wonder, what is your biggest extravagance in life? What is your biggest devotion? What is the one thing that we love to spend our time, our money, our effort doing? What are we happily extravagant about? I love watching TV box sets. I love it. I love watching TV box sets. West Wing. Have you never watched The West Wing? Yeah, I watched The West Wing. It's good. It's great, in fact. Line of Duty. That was another good one. And then you have loving friends who introduce you to things like Designated Survivor. See how bang up the date I am. Designated Survivor, Kiefer Sutherland. Wonderful stuff. I love box sets because you see, you don't just watch one at a time. See, that's the joy of box sets, isn't it? You don't just watch one at a time. No, I can watch two or three or even four. See, and then you go to bed late. And then you get up the next day, you're tired and you crash your car. But that's another story. In fact, check that. My wife's just looked at me. You get up, you're tired. You get up the next morning, you crash your wife's car. That's Yeah, even worse. But maybe for some of you, box sets is not your thing. That's not what you do. You're not extravagant about that. Maybe for you, it's the gym and fitness training. Got to get up in the morning. Got to get the practice. Got to get there. Got to be doing that. Got to meet my 7 a.m. deadline. Got to stand on the scales, make sure I get the weight off. Maybe it's work. Oh, I've got to be in the office early. Got to be climbing the ladder. Got to be working hard. Got to earn the money. Got to get it in. Want to be extravagant gifts to other people? Well, you got to have the money. Maybe it's music and your concerts and you're playing in a band. Got to work hard at that, right? Doesn't come easy. Maybe it's the garden. Well, those weeds are not going to pull up themselves. Maybe it's family. Never get a moment. Got to make sure everybody knows what they're doing. Got to make sure everyone knows where they're going. It's funny, isn't it? When someone is completely devoted to their work, to their family, say, well done. Good job. When we throw ourselves fanatically into our hobbies, say, good for you. Good for you. When we devote ourselves to the pursuit of romantic love extravagantly and all that, what do we say? So, oh, isn't that sweet? How sweet. What about church? What about religion? All of a sudden, it's everything in moderation, right? Not too much, not too little. Don't want to be one of those Jesus freaks, right? Well, this morning as we read from the Bible, we read a story from the last week of Jesus' life. And we are confronted with a completely extravagant, dedicated, devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And if you've been with us through this whole book, and we've worked all the way through the Gospel of Mark, you've been with us, it isn't who you might think it would be. It's not one of the card-carrying disciples, the close mates. It's not the religious people. It is instead a woman who's been remembered ever since for her extravagant love of Jesus Christ. The last week of Jesus' life is what this is, and that's where this story comes. It's a festival time in Jerusalem. There's hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem. They're there for Passover. If you've never been to church before, if you don't know the Bible, Passover is one of those great Jewish festivals of remembrance. The Jewish people were rescued from slavery in Egypt, and God said to them, very clearly, He said, you've got to remember. You've got to remember what God has done for you. And so they all come to Egypt, or come to Jerusalem. But the religious leaders, they're not focused on remembrance. Don't miss that. They're focused on how they're going to kill Jesus. They hate him. They hate what he stands for. They hate what he said about forgiving sins. They hate that he calls them out about their hypocrisy. They want him dead. The time for talking and debate is over. It's just a matter of getting the right political moment. And so the end is coming for Jesus. He won't last the week. But here he is reclining in the home of Simon the leper. What a great name. Simon the leper. And he's having a meal with him. Right? Incidentally, the fact that Simon is called Simon, it must be a nickname of some description, because you don't eat with a leper. You can't still have leprosy. You don't go in a leper's house. You don't eat with a leper. So I presume that he's Simon the leper because Jesus healed him from his leprosy. And his mates do that thing. They say, that's Simon the leper. And he's in his house. And he's having a nice meal, and a nice, relaxing dinner is interrupted by what is surely a crazy woman doing something weird, extravagant, and wasteful. John chapter 12, Mark doesn't tell us, but John chapter 12 tells us that this woman is almost certainly called Mary. That's her name. And they are, as they're reclining by the table, picture the scene. They're reclining by the table. That's what you did back then, right? You lay down to eat. Sounds kind of strange now, but you lay down to eat. And in comes this woman with her bottle of perfume, and she smashes it, and she pours it over Jesus. In today's money, it's around about £25,000. £25,000. And she pours it all over Jesus. Mark tells us it's on his head. John says it's on his feet. Here's what happened. She drenched Jesus with this perfume. That's what happened. It is over the top. It's completely crazy. And just in case you think it's some sort of first century thing, some first century crazy thing. Well, it's not. Because the people in the room thought it was crazy too. And the other guests, they're the disciples. And not for the first time, they are indignant. It reminds me of those, do you remember Points of View? Do you remember that program, Points of View? And you used to get people who would write in and they were, it would say things like, angry from Manchester. You know? Indignant from Edinburgh. Stupid woman. Stupid woman. What on earth are you doing? What a waste. Can you imagine what you could do with £20,000? Think of the poor that you could help. After all this time, isn't it funny that the disciples, they still don't get it? They still don't get the economics of the kingdom of God. Look what Jesus says. Leave her alone. She has done a beautiful thing to me. You'll always have the poor. You can help them whenever you want. Do you see how much value this beautiful woman places on Jesus? Yeah, the money could be used to help the poor, of course. But from the beginning of time, there's always been poor people. This is not Jesus saying, don't help the poor. Far from it. Jesus was poor. He is the poor. What he's saying is there's something more important, more precious than helping the poor. A devotion to our Savior, to a living relationship with Jesus Christ, of understanding who we are, and the unbelievable value of what he has done. This woman, Mary, she gets it. She knows who she is. She knows who Jesus is. Do we understand it? Do we understand that as a church? That the most beautiful, precious thing is Jesus? Or are we a church that's religion, Christianity, in moderation? Don't be too fanatical. Don't be too extreme. You see, Mary, when she poured that perfume over Jesus, she didn't just pour some liquid on him. This little bottle that she smashes, it's a family heirloom. It's passed down. It's the bottle that if she wants to get married, that's my dowry. That's how I get a good marriage. If life goes to hell in a handbasket, that's okay because I've got my security. Sell it, can loan against it. Now what she does, she's pouring out her future. She smashes the bottle and she pours out her whole life. Her security, her future. She's staking everything on this man, Jesus Christ. Not a little bit, not a few drops, the whole lot. It is a beautiful picture of complete abandonment to Jesus Christ. Just like it was a beautiful thing when the widow, Mark chapter 12, she goes up and she hands over two little pennies. It's all she's got. See, the only proper response to Jesus Christ is a life of extravagant, fanatical love. Are we that kind of church? Are we a church where people know us by our extravagant, fanatical love of Jesus Christ? Are we that kind of Christian? Oh, don't make us too Christian. Woodsy, come on. Don't ask too much from us. Just a little bit will do. See, whether Mary knew it or not, this beautiful thing prepared Jesus for his death. See, in this action, Jesus sees the shadow of the cross. He's promised again and again that he's going to die. He says to his disciples, look, we're going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests and the religious rulers. They're going to spit on me, flog me, beat me, and kill me. But you know what? He didn't die for nothing. He said, for I came not to be served, but to serve. To give my life as a ransom for many people. His death pays the debt that we owe. You see, when you really see who you are, when you really understand who you are, and can I say to you in love? Let me say this in love. It's not in my notes, but I'm going to say it in love. I don't think that we as a church really know who we are. Not really. We think we're pretty good, really. We think we're pretty slick, really. We look good. Not just individually, I mean as a church. But we're really not. We're really a horrible mass of miserable sinners. We are. And you see, when we look at who we are, when we understand who we understand who Jesus is. There are only two responses. Only two. Only two rational responses. One is to hate him. How dare you tell me what to do? How dare you tell me what to do? You don't tell me how to live. I'll tell you how to live. It's a rational response, not a right one, but it makes sense. The second is to see that this man, Jesus, is like a pearl of unparalleled value, where you would sell everything you have, do anything you had to do to get a hold of that pearl. To understand that he is our Savior, our King, our friend, our dad. Everything in moderation is not an option. Honestly, don't bother. Just don't bother. Because it's not an option. See, Mary saw just how beautiful Jesus is, how wonderful he is. And you know something? We are never too young, and we're never too old, and we're never too hard-hearted to see the beauty of Jesus and be transformed by it. You know, my prayer this morning is that we will see Jesus. And some of us for the first time, some of you for the first time, some of you for the first time in a long, long time. That you'll come and understand who Jesus is. So you wrestle with all life's issues and all life's questions. You get your head turned by all of that stuff. Jesus came. He says, I've come to give you rest. come to set you free. You know, C.T. Studd, he was this amazing cricketer. He was like the Ronaldo of the late 19th century. He had it all. I know that people who are, see people in the balcony thinking, you know, anybody who lived in last century is probably past it now. You've got to go a century before that. This is crazy stuff, isn't it? I imagine older than that. But C.T. Studd, he was the Ronaldo of the day. He had all the power, all the fame you could want. He had, he would have a couple of million Twitter followers if he was around today. And he gave all of it up. Gave away all his money. Walked away from his career and went to China. And he said this: if Jesus be God, then no sacrifice that I make for him could ever be too great. Let me bring it back up to date for you. Bang up to date. Tim Farron, Liberal Democrat leader. Let me read to you what he said this week. He said this: I joined the party, the Liberal Democrats, when I was 16 years old. Said, it is in my blood. I love our history, our people, our values. I love my party. Imagine, he said, just imagine how proud I am to lead my party. And then imagine what would lead me to voluntarily relinquish that honor. In the words of Isaac Watts, he said, it would have to be something so amazing, so divine, it demands my soul, my life, my all. Psalm 103 says, God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on us. As you hear those words, let me come full circle. What's our biggest extravagance in life? What's our biggest devotion? Are we in everything in moderation, church? Just a little bit. Or will we as a church pour out everything we have for Jesus Christ? Will we proclaim to one another to live as Christ and to die as gain? The band are going to play and then we'll sing.